So here's a question. If you could somehow speak to the whole world, you had an hour of primetime global television or streaming internet or whatever, what would your message be? I heard that question years ago, and I've kept coming up with the same answer. My message would be, give God another chance. Whatever you were taught about God as a child or picked up through the years, whatever you think you know, no matter what religion you do or don't have, just reconsider your understanding of God or the divine or spirit or source, whatever you're calling it these days. Because your concept of God at 6 years old probably will not still serve you at 60. But rather than just leave God behind, find what does serve you. Now, most of you all have already done that. That's why you're here. Your understanding of God is evolving. That's what being on a spiritual path is about. It's constantly learning and growing and changing what you believe and what you're open to. Some people are threatened by the idea of reconsidering what they were taught because they've been told God won't like it if you question. Or they just realized at some point that whatever they were told doesn't make sense to them, and they left it behind without moving on to anything else. Because if you're like me, I didn't know there was anything else. My church taught black and white religion, take it or leave it, and by the way, if you don't accept it, you'll go to hell. Your choice. So when I left behind, with some trepidation, the religious teachings of my childhood, it was 20 years before I found a new understanding of God that I hope will continue to grow and evolve. So I would tell the world, rethink God. You need a God for grown-ups. And even as we outgrow the God of childhood and seek a grown-up understanding of God, at the same time, those original teachings may be deeply rooted in us, and some still do serve. So I've heard more than one of you say, you like unity, but you don't want to leave Jesus behind. And our friend Ogun Holder says, unity is for people who really want to be Buddhist, but they don't want to give up God. So what I'm hearing in that is, people who are afraid they will have to give up their comfortable concepts of God and Jesus to fit in at unity. And I am here to say, no, you don't have to. You might want to. This is a place to consider new ideas. And many of you came here looking for something new and different. So I will own that when I'm excited about new discoveries or teachings, I probably sound like, you should just throw out your old ideas because here's a better one. But in calmer moments, I believe that for most of us, growth on a spiritual path is not substituting new teachings for old, but it's a process of integrating them, adding and discarding ideas as we grow, like a garden. If you come from a Christian background, and most of us do, you need to reconsider and refine 5 ideas. God, Jesus, yourself, the Bible, and church. Even if you switch to Buddhism or some other religion, you will still have opinions about God, Jesus, yourself, the Bible, and church. And what you believe about those 5 things pretty well defines your spiritual path. So let's start with God. In the Bible, there's a little story in Exodus about Moses just catching a glimpse of God as God disappears around a corner. Because God had said, you cannot look directly at my face. So Moses just got a glimpse of God's backside, nothing more. Now, can we just stipulate that we will likely never see or understand all that God is, at least while we're in human form? We only have glimpses of the divine, little glimmers of truth. But we keep trying to come up with descriptions. And as I've told you, the most important thing I've learned in the past year has been the 3 faces of God. It's not the Trinity, it's different. If you remember from grammar class, first person is I, second person is you, and third person is he, she, or it. God can be viewed in any of those ways. The world's major religions have typically chosen one or two for themselves, but no one tries for all three. Christianity has emphasized God as you, so it's a relationship, you and me, God. And we pray, dear God, we ask you for, or dear God, we thank you for. It's a two-way street with a God outside of us. Christianity also has a good dollop of third person, the omniscient God watching from a distance. But God is out there, a supreme being who intervenes supernaturally in our lives. That's theism. And if you don't see it that way, you are an atheist. Unity, on the other hand, emphasizes God within, the first person God. God is I, my own divinity, like Cherie prayed. It's called the immanent God, God within. Unity also likes the transcendent God, all there is, the God you have to wave your arms to describe. God is in all things. It's the universe and beyond. Not so much a deity, but an energy field of creative intelligence and love. So for a long time in unity, the God of relationship seemed childish to me. And we were taught in seminary not to address God as you in prayers, because God's not out there. We are never separate from the divine. We pray to affirm our oneness and our place within a universe where all is well. The ultimate prayer is wordless silence. But I have learned that most people, including those in unity, still want a relationship. They want some kind of back and forth with a higher power. If they don't imagine themselves talking to God per se, it's angels or guides or Akashic records or communing with the dead, just something to make them feel like they are communicating with the divine. There's even been some backlash about this in unity. I had one friend, a licensed unity teacher, who said, "Don't tell me I can't have a theistic God." Alrighty then. And I do understand that, because saying God is within can be confusing, coming to grips with our own divinity, and it can sound grandiose or even blasphemous. Jesus was accused of blasphemy when he said it. And God as the ground of being is a nice idea, but there's nothing to grab onto. I've also learned some people are not trying to recover from a wrathful God who monitors their behavior. They grew up with a God of love and forgiveness. Like our closing prayer every week, a God that surrounds us, loves, protects, and watches over us. That would be a lot of comfort to leave behind. So don't leave it if you don't want to. You can imagine your relationship with God any way you want, because you're only catching a glimpse of the divine anyway. The point is to find concepts of God that work for you at any given time in your life. Jesus also does not have to be left behind, but your understanding of Jesus might change. I never knew I had a choice about how to understand Jesus till I was way grown up. Because did anyone teach you? Well, you can see Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, or you could see him as a human teacher who showed us what's possible for everyone. Or all the other ways to view Jesus: Jesus the man, Jesus the Jew, Jesus the Christ. And in unity, Jesus and Christ are different. There's Jesus modeling the divine in us. And then there's still always Jesus as Savior, Jesus as buddy, Jesus as God putting on a human body and coming to earth, someone who knows and understands the human experience, and someone whose suffering outweighs any of ours, someone who walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. See, some of you chimed in on those lyrics. Jesus is an easier relationship to have because he was a person. And in Unity, we teach Jesus was a real man who lived. But we don't emphasize salvation through the cross or accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You certainly don't have to give up Jesus if you don't want to. But there are so many ways to think about him. Let him play a role that's useful in your life, large or small, and it might change over time. There's a question right on the heels of who was Jesus, and that is, who am I? What does it mean if Jesus was divine and I'm not? Or what does it mean for me, and this is really scary, if Jesus was showing us what's possible for everyone? He said we could do anything he could do, so what am I supposed to do? What are human beings in this great cosmic scheme? Are we spiritual beings having a human experience? Are we sinners, worms of the dust, an accident of evolution, God's ultimate creation, outranking all other life, having dominion over the earth? How we think of ourselves has everything to do with how we relate to the divine. Are we in a position of fear and awe? Are we worthy or unworthy? Are we co-creators, sharing divine powers? What we are is a question that I don't think gets enough airtime in theological discussions. And how we answer the question of what we are determines how we treat the planet and each other, how we pray, and even what we think happens after death. It's one more thing to refine and reconsider. Who am I as a human within the universe? One place we might turn for help with all this is the Bible. Ooh, Bible. My friend Laura says, that's just old stories about dead people. Like God and Jesus, the Bible is one of those elements of spirituality that some people throw out and others don't want to give up. My friends who grew up Catholic say they got very little Bible teaching. In the Baptist church, we got a whole lot. And I don't remember anyone suggesting that the Bible could be interpreted in many different ways. One way is literalism. I don't think anyone takes the whole Bible literally, no matter what they claim. And it was never intended to be literal. But any literature that lasts hundreds or thousands of years is resonating with something in us. It's telling our story. We recognize ourselves in it. Think of Shakespeare. Love stories, tragic flaws, misuses of power, violence. You don't have to take it literally for it to be meaningful. Like any good literature, the Bible can be read metaphorically, symbolically, metaphysically. In Unity's metaphysics, every person, place, or thing in the Bible represents a part of you, a part of your consciousness. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, had a long list of metaphysical meanings for various words and place names. So you can plug and play using his system. You're also encouraged to read and interpret the Bible for yourself. The point is to make the Bible relevant for today and for your personal journey. If everything's part of your consciousness, it becomes relevant. I love Bible stories too because nothing we encounter is new. It's all been dealt with before, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, by very flawed people. So if we can take lessons in living from the Daily Word or Chicken Soup for the Soul, we can probably find them in the Bible. So again, use whatever speaks to you, but you might want to reconsider the Bible. And then there's church. Even though 60% of Americans do not attend church, and that percentage has been flat for a long time, Our society seems to have a strong guilt streak about it. I didn't realize how strong until I became a minister. And so now when I run into someone and I say, I've missed you, I haven't seen you in ages, they go into this long, guilty explanation. Oh, well, we've been meaning to come to church, but the kids were sick, and then we were on vacation, and my mother came to visit, and now I'm working on weekends, but we'll be back, really. We will. In the Baptist church, we got awards for attendance, so missing Sundays was clearly frowned upon. The Catholics call it what it is, holy days of obligation. When you, by God, better go to Mass. And they have a bunch of them, Ascension, Assumption, All Saints. What if, instead, going to church was like going to the grocery? You go when you need to. You go because it has something you want. For some people, that's every few days. Others avoid going for as long as possible. But there's no guilt if you don't show up. If someone says, I haven't seen you at HEB in a while. Oh, well, the kids were sick and then we were on vacation and my mother came to visit and I've been working. You just say, yeah, I haven't been there in a while. Go to church for what you want to get when you want to get it. And you might reconsider everything it has to offer. Read a story on Huffington Post this week about a trend toward megachurches for atheists. These are people who no longer believe what they were taught about God, so they left the church behind, but they miss it. They miss the experience. This movement is actually spearheaded by two British comedians. They got the idea for it after they went to a Christmas music concert. And I think the holidays make a lot of people nostalgic for traditional church. So they loved the music and they came out and said it's a shame because they just don't believe the message anymore. So one of these comedians said, if you think about church, there's very little that's bad. It's singing awesome songs, hearing interesting talks, thinking about improving yourself and helping other people, and doing that in a community with wonderful relationships. What part of that is not to like? Except they don't believe in God, or they think they don't. So they started this gathering called Sunday Assembly, and its motto is, live better, help often, wonder more. And it's been spreading all over the world, mostly through social media. It does sometimes seem that in seeking God for grown-ups and leaving behind what doesn't work for us, we also have to leave behind pieces that we loved and understood. And we miss them. We miss the old hymns, but they have really bloody lyrics. We might miss the liturgy, but we don't believe what it says. We miss having a friend in Jesus. But we want to take responsibility for living from our own divinity. I'm sure there are times when we throw out the baby with the bathwater. But only you know what is bathwater for you and what is the baby that you want to keep and cherish. When I was in ministerial school, I had a dream that I was back on the Baylor campus, world's largest Southern Baptist university where I went to undergrad. And I walked into the Tidwell Bible building where I took my religion classes. And the building in the dream was shrunken and misshapen like an old Halloween pumpkin. But I walked through the Bible building to a door on the other side, and when I stepped back outside, I was on the campus of Unity Village instead of Baylor. And I woke up thinking, oh, it's a continuum. At some level, I had integrated the teachings of the past with my new way of seeing. It wasn't a radical shift in belief, after all. It was just next steps on my path. So as you reconsider your spiritual past, and as you explore new paths, take what you like and leave the rest. Keep whatever still works for you and add the new ideas that light your fire. Just know that there are so many more choices than most of us have realized. And keep exploring, because I don't want you to miss anything. Let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And for today's meditation, since I find my head and my heart opened in new ways from that talk, I think for today's meditation, let's just be. Heart space. Or be in your head space. Just be into whatever space, breathe into whatever space you choose to be in right now. Breathe in again. Let it out completely. Just ease into that. Hallelujah. So much gratitude.